What's up, everybody? It's been a while. It's been a while since I've done this. Get at me. I haven't been in a get at me segment in about a year or so. I haven't given you an opportunity to get at me the way that you're used to. So I decided to bring it back. I know I got my own radio show. I know you see me on television, but damn it, me vibing with you video wise, you seeing me seeing you, hearing your comments, responding directly to them is something I felt I owed you. So I want to add and re-add the get at me segment back. Okay. Here I am. I'm here for you, baby. I'm here for you. Let's get it started. What's the first one up here? Janelle Maud at Janelle12, right? Stephen A. Smith. Do you think building a media ecosystem with multiple jobs/platforms the new norm for sports journalists, or is there still value in concentrating on one lane? I would never encourage anybody to be one-dimensional. Because when you're one-dimensional, you're a slave to that particular job, that particular industry per se, and it may compromise your ability to be all you can be. Now, you don't want to be a jack of all trades, a master of none. You don't want that either. You're in pursuit of greatness. So whatever is going to facilitate getting you closer to greatness is where your pursuits should lie. But in pursuit of that greatness, you should also pursue versatility. One of the reasons why I give athletes and rap artists and people like that so much respect and so much love, regardless of how sensitive their asses get and they act like I don't do it when I actually do and I have the facts to show that I do that. One of the reasons I give them so much respect is because it takes bravery to do what they do. Yeah, you are an athlete, or yeah, you are a rap artist, but you start doing some acting and stuff like that. You're diversifying your portfolio because what you're trying to show is that you're not a one-trick pony and you're not some one-dimensional lad who's completely dependent on this right here in order for your survival and your ability to prosper. You're showing that there's more ways to skin a cat. There's more ways to generate revenue. You want to do that. You want to be versatile. Please don't get me wrong. You don't want to be one-dimensional. However, if you're pursuing versatility and it's at the expense of your level of productivity in any important category, you're compromising yourself because you're not grasping greatness. You want a combination of both. You want to diversify your portfolio and be versatile, but you also want to make sure you're great at something. I do a lot of politics now, but everybody knows what I bring to sports. I established that first, then ventured out. So that's where I'm coming from with that. And that's what I would say to you. Next up, what you got? At Milo Augusta, Stephen A. Smith, do you think the second apron is good for the NBA? I don't think it's good, but I do think it's necessary. Because the reality is that if you don't have the second apron, you understand, then you're having basically something tantamount to the modern day, present day baseball, where you could be the Los Angeles Dodgers and you got billions and you're able to sign dudes to $700 million deals, 70 a year, you're deferring $68 million a year and all of this other stuff. Nah, you can do things that other people can't do. What you want is a system that is equitable. Everybody has to operate under the same constraints, under the same rules and regulations, and govern the league that way. That's what every sports league should want. That's what every fan base should want. So I'm not a fan of the second apron per se, because I definitely want the players to get all the money that they can. But I understand that from a business standpoint, if you're trying to facilitate the growth of the overall league itself, because under many umbrellas, you know, is one tentacle essentially. You want a situation where everybody is operating with the same rules. And that's why the second apron is necessary in the NBA. Next tweet, what you got? At Bunch Casa, Stephen A. Smith, what's your go-to starter suit brand for someone trying to land that first good job? Number one suit brand. I wouldn't say it's not a brand. It's not a brand. You can go out there and get a nice pair of slacks and a blazer. I would tell you, get away from the brands. Okay, I rock Tom Ford and stuff like that. I get it because it fits me nice, but I got it when I could afford it. You understand? I didn't just go out there and get it. But many, many times over the years, I wore jeans with a shirt and a tie. And when I could upgrade to Blazers, I do that. And let me tell you something right now, too. Here's what you have to do. You have to get conventional. You want four colors. You want black. You want navy blue. You want chocolate brown. And you want gray. You want them, those slacks, pants, with those same colored Blazers, and mix and match all over the place. That's what you want. White shirt, blue shirt, black shirt, navy blue, light blue, tan, shirts, ties to match. But black, blue, brown, gray, slacks, Blazers, and rock it that way and mix it up. And you could make about 10 suits out of that and look very, very professional. Forget the name brand. Mix it up and maximize what you have available to you. And then you don't have to depend on one suit. You got a multitude of outfits. Next up, what you got? At Pizza the Hut, H-U-T-T-T-T. Stephen A. Smith, does ketchup belong on mashed potatoes? Not for me. I prefer butter. But I have seen people put ketchup on mashed potatoes, and they seem to like it. So who the hell am I to say otherwise? Next up, what you got? At Yona B.H., Stephen A. Smith, would you rather never kiss again or never be able to eat any kind of sauce ever again? I'd rather be able to never eat any kind of sauce again. If I can't kiss, I mean, damn. What's going on in my life that I can't kiss somebody? My mouth is jacked up. As far as I'm concerned, based on that question, if I can't kiss, I probably can't taste any sauce either. I'm not trying to go that route. You know what I'm saying? I want my romance now. You know what I'm saying? I want to be able to. I don't need it. You know what I'm saying? I could do without it, but I don't want to be forced to. I want that to be a choice. Just imagine, and everybody, this applies to women and men, girls and boys, et cetera, et cetera. When you choose to not do something, as tough as it may be to deprive yourself of various pleasures, it's entirely different than when you're forced to because you're incapable of doing something. It's like, okay, you know what? You're with your significant other and you don't do anything. That's entirely different than not being able to. Not being able to is far more damaging. We want the ability to do things, even if we choose not to do them for whatever reason, rather than being incapable of doing things. There's a difference. There's a difference. Those questions were relatively weak. They didn't particularly move me. They weren't challenging to me. They weren't intriguing to me. I expected more from y'all. If y'all gonna get at me, get at me. Ask me some poignant questions. I'm not running. I'm not scared. Give me questions that make me think. Give me questions that put me on a spot that makes me want to answer. Intrigue me. Tickle my imagination. Don't give me questions that are just plain old Mary Jane, just asked and answered, and it's simple. No, y'all better than that. I thought y'all wanted to get at me. Do better, y'all. Do better.